O God, our great companion, lead us day by day deeper into the mysteries of life and enable us to become faithful interpreters of life to our fellow men through Christ our Lord. Amen. The chances are pretty high that you have not used the word saint very much lately, perhaps not at all. If you used it, you probably were talking about one of our cities like St. Louis, which has been in the news, or a river, St. Lawrence, or a football team, or even a branch of the Christian faith called the Church of the Latter-day Saints, better known as the Mormons. In the popular mind, the word saint suggests someone above the ordinary, someone special. Today you came to St. Peter's Episcopal Church and are worshiping the service for all the saints. This day is so important to Christians that many churches bear the name All Saints. We have seven that bear that name, All Saints, in the Diocese of Pennsylvania. The word saint appears 229 times in the Greek New Testament and 60 times in the King James Bible. Most Protestant churches do not acknowledge individual saints as a proper image for Christians to support. The belief is that all followers of Jesus are saints. Father Koshy's sermon last year was titled, "We Are All Saints." Really, that stressed that valid point. The term saint describes many, not just the few. The ordinary believer, not just the extraordinary person. The Episcopal Church affirms both. As followers and believers in Jesus, we are all saints. We also affirm that there are those among us whose lives deserve special mention and recognition. This is a natural development of Christian thought and history. Hero worship of some form has emerged in every culture, nation, and civilization. Our pop culture will fasten on the icons of music, movies, and TV, and obsess over everything they say, their marriages, the births of their children, and their human frailties that inevitably occur. Their exploits will be voraciously read for days. Every sport has its Hall of Fame to honor the extraordinary achiever in that sport. Deference is shown to the high achiever. All world religions have a concept of sainthood. Judaism, the term is Zaydic. Islam has Mumin. Buddhists have Arhat. And Hindus have Rishi or Guru. In Christianity, our saints with a capital S are the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, St. Paul, and many others who have risen to prominence. Saints form our version of Christian hero worship. In the popular mind, saints are thought of as having won a Nobel Prize for holiness. The saints of the church and all our loved ones who have gone before are in our minds as we worship together today. What is a saint, and how are they made? What special qualities do saints have? Saints are made by their unique responses to the challenges of life. Saints are forged from the heat and hammering of life upon their minds and hearts. In today's gospel from Matthew 5, we are given the qualities of sainthood. These qualities are known popularly in the church as the Beatitudes. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and a crowd gathered to listen also. Jesus took that opportunity to sensitize his disciples to what it would be like to follow him. These seven Beatitudes can be summarized this way. Number one, get our priorities right. Number two, seek justice for all. Number three, replace judgment with mercy. Number one, get our priorities right. Here are the Beatitudes that support that. Blessed are those who know their need of God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Saints don't blink or wink at evil. Saints know evil exists and do not hesitate to confront it. They have their priorities straight. We were privileged 2 weeks ago and inspired to hear Noah Bullock of Chrysosol say this to our parish, quote, "Other organizations have thrown up their hands when facing the evils of human trafficking and gang violence in El Salvador." He said that Chrysosol decided that attitude was wrong, that large odds are not an excuse for doing nothing. Chrysosol is now courageously exercising leadership and has received help and cooperation of many agencies across the world. Saints have their priorities right. Past President Jimmy Carter also does not blink or wink at evil either. Speaking about the evil of war, he had this to say, quote, "War may sometimes be a necessary evil, but no matter how necessary, it is still evil, never a good. We will not learn how to live together in peace by killing each other's children." Saints are those who have gotten their priorities right and courageously live them. Number two, saints seek justice for all. Saints do not divide the world between us and them, good guys and bad guys. Here are the attitudes that support this idea. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. There are no qualifying standards to meet before seeking justice. Saints know that when one suffers from an injustice, that injustice spreads to many others. When justice falters, as it has in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, the moral fabric of society experiences decay, and people become very cynical. Saints hunger and thirst for righteousness. Number three, saints cultivate the habit of replacing judgment with mercy. These are the Beatitudes that support this summary. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the meek, or the gentle in spirit, as the New English Bible puts it. Saints have learned to suspend judgment and affirm mercy. 3 weeks ago, I walked into a large building here in Phoenixville. Over a row of full-length mirrors, I read this statement in big, bold letters, probably a foot high. Judgment-free zone. And another, you belong. Which church in Phoenixville do you think I was in? I wasn't in a church building at all. I was in a physical fitness center. Think about that. An enterprise whose purpose is to help me attain physical fitness. And they asked me to suspend judgment of all others and myself. And if I can do that, I belong. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I was in a church of the body, but a church nevertheless. And it's a way of promoting fitness for my body, is to be inclusive and to suspend judgment of others and myself. That is saintly living 101. In the Beatitudes, Jesus urges his followers to do the same for each other and those they will meet. Why did he urge such an impossible task upon his disciples and us? God knows each of us fully. We are the people from whom no secrets are hid. We only know each other partially. Peel back the layers of anyone's life, and you'll be amazed at the depth of their life story. All too often, we make judgments about others that are terribly unfair. Very often, our judgments make a bad situation worse. We do not know why Eric Fain shot two Pennsylvania troopers 6 weeks ago. Some evidence shows that this had been planned for years. There's an insight from the study of abuse that we need to embrace. People who are hurting tend to hurt others. This is a truism in spousal abuse, in domestic abuse involving children. That emotional equation is behind bullying in person or over the internet. We don't know the mind of an ISIS fighter and the moral compass that gives him permission to brutally kill men, women, and children over religious ideology. It is our lack of understanding of each other that continues the hurting of each other. There are those who can suspend judgment and seek understanding. It is very encouraging to know that there are social scientists who are studying the ISIS fighter, even as we gather to worship this morning. Empathy and understanding must replace the endless cycle of violence everywhere. Unless we are willing to take up this difficult task of suspending judgment and seeking understanding, the world will go from conflict to conflict in the insane attempt to affirm life by taking life. This morning, we affirm life in all of its potential in baptizing three precious children, William, Tasha, and Malaya. We do not know all of the challenges they will face, but it is our sacred task as parents and parish to share the wisdom of Jesus with them. By word and example, they can be inspired to make better responses to life's challenges than many of us have. May we as a parish surround them with those empowering attitudes and circumstances that fully honor them and God who created them. And as we continue to be nurtured by the wisdom of Jesus, let us nurture them and each other.